In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The need to belong, the need to feel loved, is our oldest and probably most basic need. We want to be part of the tribe, part of the clan, or part of a clique, if you're in high school. We gather here as a congregation. The word literally means a gathering of sheep, a flock. We want to be together. This need to belong is rooted in our infancy. Belonging, love for a baby, is communicated primarily through touch. When, as a baby, we are touched and held, we thrive. But when children are not held, not touched, they die. This is true. They become physically suppressed, their immune system begins to shut down, and then an opportunistic infection, often pneumonia, sets in, and they die. This is such our desperate need for love, that when we are loved, we thrive. When we aren't, we fail. So looking out, you were all loved. That's why you're here. But what happens as we then begin to get older? We go out looking for love. How many people remember the song, "Looking for Love in All the Wrong Places, in Too Many Faces"? Anybody want to sing that for us? The love that we're looking for ultimately cannot be achieved. We can't win it. We cannot take it, and we certainly can't steal it. It has to be freely given, and it has to be accepted freely. Now, I say all of this because we have that beautiful, iconic passage in today's gospel from St. John. We've heard it 1,000 times. It's the most quoted and beautiful lines in the Bible. Often when you are watching a football game, you'll see somebody somewhere holding John 3:16 out there. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that everyone who believes in him might not perish, but might have eternal life." For God so loved the world. So what is love? Well, how much time do you have, right? My homily can't answer that question fully. I'm not sure any talk can. But we can look into parts of it. We do know some things about love. And one of the things we can say is that one of the difficulties that we often make is that we project onto God our way of being, of acting, of thinking, and of feeling. For example, you and I tend to, as human beings, tend to fall in and out of love. We talk about it that way. Now satisfied, now dissatisfied, now content, now angry. We are fickle, vacillating, and unreliable in love. But not so God. The love of God is nothing like that, because God is love. St. John would tell us in one of his letters, those very words, God is love. It is his essence. It is who he is right through. The word that we're looking at here, of course, was not written in English. John was using a Greek word, and perhaps a word that you have heard somewhere as you've gone along in your studies. Agape, or maybe agape. You probably have heard of that word. It's in contrast to some of the other Greek words used for love. You see, in English, we just have one. That's one of our problems. But in Greek, they had no less than four. They actually had more, but four main ones. You had, of course, philos, philein, which is the love of friends. Philadelphia, that city of brotherly love. Those people in life that we choose because we have those common interests. As compared to storge, that's the love of family, the people you don't get to choose, but you have to love anyway, even if you don't necessarily like them very much. And there's eros, And that's the love, especially between a man and woman in the beginning of their relationship, that gets them involved and excited about each other. It has to eventually go somewhere else. It's another word we call sometimes puppy love, right? And so it has to eventually evolve into a more stable love. But what we're using here is agape. You might have heard it as unconditional love, self-forgetting love. It's also the word Jesus uses when he gives us his new commandment. He said, I give you a new commandment. Love one another as I loved you. As I love you. Mother Teresa said, whenever you see the cross, you see how much he loved us then. And when you see the sacred host lifted up, you see how much he loves us now. Both of them, a total self-gift, holding nothing back. He pours out his body and blood for us on both of them. Agape is that experience of love that involves truly seeking the good of the other, moving beyond the self and selfishness and how something affects me. It becomes a renunciation of self, which is exactly what Jesus told us, right? To deny ourselves, take up our cross and follow. And it is a love that is ready, even willing, to sacrifice. This is, by the way, what you and I are looking for in all the wrong places sometimes and too many faces, what we're seeking from others. We want someone who would die for us. We want someone who would be all in. And yet we are reticent to give that love to others. We want that love that focuses on doing good to others, serving them and helping them, regardless about how I feel or what I might get in return. And this is the love of Jesus in the manger of Bethlehem and his love on the cross in Jerusalem, pouring out his life, not because doing it filled him with some kind of emotional or personal satisfaction, but because we needed him to do it. God is completely self-forgetful, completely focused on our good, our true happiness and fulfillment. He didn't have to make the world, but he wanted to share his love. And that's why he forgives us in confession, however many times we come. That's why he feeds us with his sacred body and blood from this altar in the Most Holy Eucharist. And since we were created in God's image, this God who is love, we will find the fulfillment we learn for as we gradually learn to love like God loves, in the same self-forgetful, unconditional, Christ-like way. Love one another as I love you. This Sunday is called Laetare, Rejoice Sunday. It's the halfway point in our Lenten observance. The church tells us to take a break today. You deserve a break from your penances. Today we also wear rose-colored vestments. As I've mentioned many times before, the color of the dawn, the color of hope. A new day is dawning, and it has the potential to dawn in your very life. The love of God in Christ pierces the darkness of our sins. So ask the Lord today at this Holy Mass for the grace not only to experience his love for yourself, but also to share that experience with others, especially those who might still be living in darkness. Do not wait, and I'll repeat that. Do not wait for someone else to step up to do it. I've told you before, I'm only standing here before you because a boy in fifth grade made the sign of the cross. He didn't wait for someone else to proclaim the cross to me and planted a seed that would eventually lead to this. Don't wait for somebody else. The reason that you are here is because God chose you. He chose you to be here tonight. He chose you to be his light in the darkness. to be an image of his dawning hope in a world in desperate need of his unselfish love. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, let us stand.